And this is Community Living Radio. And I am Michael. You could also be listening to us, of course, on the NCRA networks, which will be rebroadcasting this particular episode, or also on Spreaker or iHeart. You also can find us, our podcast version. So, there's been some interesting things going on in the area, and I've gotten involved in what I like to call influencer marketing. And it means that as a community influencer, you help push out what I like to call heart-driven businesses into the community, and you help market these people and send referrals and everything to them as an influencer. And this next interview is a rebroadcast of Teresa de Grabois, and she wrote a book on how to become a mass influencer, and we're actually taking the ideas of her book, and we're actually going to be teaching those to people so that they can influence her community, which becomes really cool, especially when you're an advocate for human rights, diversity rights, or for people with disabilities. So, which this show is about, advocacy for people with disabilities. And if you are advocating for these things, it really helps if you become that influencer in the area that helps get things done. So, with that, let's go ahead and play Teresa's interview, and I will speak to you again in about 20 minutes for a break. Okay. And welcome to the Community Living Radio on the NCRA networks. And we're here today with Teresa de Grabois. And Teresa teaches business and marketing courses and heads an international evolutionary business council. That's tough to say. She works with speakers, influencers dedicated to teaching principles of success. Teresa believes it is possible to create a massive positive change in the thinking of our planet, one word of mouth epidemic at a time. I have to agree with you on the one word of mouth epidemic. That's pretty awesome. That's quite the undertaking that you have going on with that. So, with that mouthful, is there anything else you want to add to that, Teresa? And welcome to the show.
Just that it's great to be here, Michael. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have somebody who wants to inspire people the way that you actually do.
Thank you.
So, you've also often been described as someone who teaches thought leaders and emerging thought leaders to a greater impact on the world. So, tell me how you got to that.
Oh, I love that question. You know, like a lot of people, it was a bit messy, is what I want to say. You know, I had what I would now affectionately call a really bad year about 12, 13 years ago. And, you know, in the first 6 months of that year, I had, my marriage had ended, my father had passed away, my business had failed, and my health was in a spiral. And I actually, you know, remember at the time, the only thing I was really, really clear on was how incredibly unhappy I was. And in fact, if I look back over the, you know, preceding 25 years of my life, I couldn't actually look back at a time and say that I could point to that I was really on fire happy. You know, I had all the outward trappings of success, great job, six-figure income, beautiful house, nice car. But it just, what, you know, my life wasn't really lighting me up, you know. And I actually remember there was a moment when I'm sitting on the bathroom floor of my post-marriage breakup new condo you know, and I'm surrounded by tools because I've always been a renovator, and this bathroom's going to be my latest project. And there's literally tears streaming down my face because, you know, the only thought in my head is that it's me that needs renovating. It's me. And it was one of those amazing moments because I made the commitment right then, right there, I'm going to be my next project. And I started doing every self-help course under the sun. I went back and did a whole certificate in mediation because I've always been a conflict avoider. Mm-hmm. And I just started leaning in to changing my life until I really figured out what really does light me up is actually teaching what I'm really good at, go figure, and helping others that would change the world become more influential.
Wow. So how long did it take you to actually get around all that, especially knowing you got to renovate yourself or coming to the realization that you need to renovate yourself?
You know, I love that because a lot of people think it's, you know, poof and it's done. and although life can be magic, it's, you know, the magic isn't always instantaneous, you know. And I, you know, at the time, you know, I had been introduced to the whole concept that a lot of transformational leaders talk about, which is like lean in. You know, Janet Atwood talks about this in her book, The Passion Test, just lean in the direction of things you love. So when I first really stepped into the realm of, you know, and now for something completely different, I decided that I was going to create a charity to build schools in Africa. I was going to take my hobby of writing children's books and publish 3 of them to raise money for the charity. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing that happened when I did that was, you know, I really quickly learned 2 things. The first was that I didn't really like being a children's author. Go figure, right? And the second was that, you know, I had people coming at me in droves saying, 3 bestsellers in 8 months. Holy cow, Teresa, how did you do that? And I ended up, you know, I started mentoring all these people and, you know, how do you get more influence and more reach? You know, until one day I had, you know, my very dear friend, who's actually now my best friend, Shawn DePerrin, she's also an international level speaker. You know, she was sitting having tea with me one day and she said, you know, Teresa, you know that fish don't know what water is. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I get that cliche. You know, a lot of us don't get what we're really good at and what's all around us. She says, the universe is sending you a flood of people who want your help. Don't you think you should pay attention to that? And it was like a light bulb moment because it was like, here was the business that I should be creating, teaching people who want to do good work in the world how to become more influential. Mm-hmm. And it was... it was so intuitive and so natural and normal to me that I, you know, like fish don't get the water is, I wasn't seeing where my gifts lay. And when I shifted and rebranded overnight, all of a sudden, you know, my life really lit on fire and my business just took off and I've never looked back.
So your success was like a light bulb coming on?
A little bit, yeah. And, yeah. You know, success is sloppy. You know, and I think one of the most important things anyone can learn in life is to give yourself permission to succeed sloppily. You know, if we wait till everything lines up all neat and perfect and looks pretty with a bow tied on top of it, we'll never really do anything. And in fact, it's in those getting messy moments and trying stuff, even though it might fail or even though it might be a little awkward in how you bring it forward. Mm-hmm. It's those moments that are actually the really joyful, wonderful, amazing moments of life.
Well, don't you have time after you know, you realize what it is that you have, what the talents are, and how the talents can be used to help bring value to the world? Can't you clean it up after you discovered it?
Exactly.
even you after know, all like, the mess?
You know, you want to build a house, there's going to be a little sawdust involved, right?
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a mansion at the end of that process, right? And so, you know, I just think so many of us are hardwired to resist stuff until we feel really ready to do it or until we feel, you know, the world is waiting. Really, truthfully, the number one thing that stops most people from becoming more influential is their inner dialogue, that they're not worthy, they're not ready, they're not smart enough, they're not influential enough, they don't have enough credentials. Inner dialogue will trip you up every time. And, you know, transformational leaders all over the world are talking about this. I know you talk about this on your show a lot, Michael.
Yes.
And often what's stopping you from really making a difference and being of service in the world is that inner dialogue that you're hardwired with. That's one of the reasons I wrote my book, was because I wanted good people to see that sometimes you're your own worst enemy, and you could be of much higher service to the world if you would just stop listening to all your negative inner dialogue.
So when you talk about your book, you mean the one that's coming out October 1st? Mass Influence?
Mass Influence, The Habits of the Highly Influential.
Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, you know, I really wrote this book because I see so many good people who really want to do wonderful, positive things in the world get tripped up the minute that they try and increase their own influence, you know. And when you look at highly influential people, it really is a lot like a game, you know. It's really a skill set, a set of habits that you can learn that will really serve you. But the challenge is that most of us have, you know, well, we have two things that stop us from becoming more influential. The first thing that stops us is we all learned an etiquette or a rule book in kindergarten about fairness and, you know, I do this for you, you do that for me. And, you know, we learned a similar rule book when we first started networking in business. You know, you're my colleague. I want to do business with you, therefore I would offer to buy you a coffee, for example. And, you know, we all know intuitively, you know, that if you met Oprah Winfrey and offered to buy her a coffee, her gatekeepers would get in the way faster than you could say restraining order, right? And yet most of us don't get where that rule book changed. The highly influential operate with a different set of habits and etiquette in their life. And so that's the first thing that stops a lot of good people from gaining more influence. The second thing is that a lot of us are really hardwired with a lot of negative self-talk that that really gets in our way of stepping into the influence game.
Yeah, that is true. A lot of people are... there's our society in general. It's like they are them and we are us. And there's like a railroad track that you can't cross, right?
Yeah, that's a great analogy, because it's, you know, a lot of people really do think that way. And, you know, the reality is when good people stop themselves from seeking influence because they've got all this inner dialogue going on, you know, the only people who aren't hardwired with inner dialogue that stops them from wanting to seek influence is sociopaths. You know, sociopaths are often hardwired to want more influence. And, you know, that's not the world I want my grandkids to grow up in. I don't want my grandkids growing up in a world run by sociopaths. I want good people with strong values who really believe in changing the world for the good to be seeking influence and having the ability to create that change, because really that's the world we all want to live in.
Right. So is that the basic why to creating a book about this topic?
You know, I think it was one of my most fundamental whys, you know, because a lot of people don't realize how much they can step into thought leadership, you know. And I mean, you know, a lot of people are batting around this term thought leadership, but, you know, if you're pushing out new ideas and new thinking or wanting to initiate change in some way, then you are in the realm of thought leadership, right? And that, it can be a scary place to be, because the minute that you're leading, nobody else tells you the way to go, right? You're the one that's got to make it up and figure it out. And, you know, so thought leaders, and, you know, most business owners fall into this realm, but a lot of people in business do as well. You know, you might just wanting to be creating positive change in your organization or your community, or maybe you run a not-for-profit. And if you are not feeling that you have the right to step forward and create positive change, if you're feeling no one will take you seriously, if you're feeling you don't have enough credentials, if you're, you know, any form of inner dialogue. And, you know, the great irony is we all invented it when we were very young. You know, I can, you know, there's a lot of research in the psychology and sociology literature on this, right? Most people invent their dominant inner dialogue when they're like 2-3 years old, first getting language. And, you know, it's those first few failures you had in life, right? Mm-hmm. I can actually remember the day I first invented my inner dialogue and you know, am really clear how it trips me up now as an adult.
Well, because I run into this all the time where that first inner dialogue wasn't necessarily from within. It was something that was handed to you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Was yours handed to you, or did you discover it on your own?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's sort of like it's handed to you, and then at the same time, it's what did you make that mean, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like what you wouldn't know about me if you didn't ask is, you know, I'm from the Canadian equivalent of the backwoods, right? Like I, you know, I'm not only Canadian, but I grew up in the north, right? And, you know, my family used to spend their summers in a remote backwoods cabin. We'd go in every year just in time to see the little baby mosquitoes hatching. and so one fall we're back from the cabin and, you know, I'm the youngest of nine, so all my 8 siblings are sitting around the kitchen in our tiny little, you know, we have a 100-year-old house, and all my cousins are visiting, and everybody's buzzing with excitement because my grandmother's taken us all to the movies, which is a big freaking deal because, well, first of all, it's the love bug, so that's a pretty big deal right there. And, you know, secondly, we never go to the movies. It's just way too much hassle for a family our size. And I look across the room just in time to hear my mother say, "Teresa can't go, she's too little." And so I make that mean, I'm too small to play with the big kids. And that inner dialogue sticks. So I, you know, as of that point, I start spending all my time doing one of two things, either desperately trying to prove that I'm not too small to play with the big kids, or terrified that I am. Now, do you think that might get in the way as an international speaker who's got to step out on a stage in front of 500 or 1,000 people, right? And the reality is, though, that, you know, your inner dialogue is neither good nor bad. It just motivates you, right? Mm-hmm. It can trip you up, but it also can motivate you to do some really cool things in life. I'm too small to play with the big kids actually motivated me to become an expert on influence that wants to invest in emerging thought leaders. How cool is that, right? So, you know, a really great exercise, if you don't mind me giving your listeners a takeaway, if you want a takeaway from the call.
Oh, takeaways are awesome. I encourage them.
Okay, great. Well, here's your first takeaway. I'm giving you guys homework. For the next week, journal what you notice about your dominant inner dialogue, especially when you think about doing something that to you would have a lot of importance to it. Like if you think about really stepping out and playing a bigger game in life, maybe you change something within your organization, or maybe you, you know, set up that not-for-profit organization you've always been thinking about. What's that inner dialogue that confronts you? And start journaling about that, because that was invented by a very young version of you. And when you can really start to see where that hinders you, but also where it helps you, then you can come to peace with that inner dialogue and have it stop running the show. It then just becomes, you know, a messaging that runs in the background, but you don't need to actually engage in it or be motivated by it anymore.
Well, how about that inner dialogue? Who would have thought that an inner dialogue can motivate you to do something as awesome as Teresa has? She created the Evolutionary Business Council, which helps other business owners move forward. She's just an amazing person. So with that, we need to get to a station ID break and take care of some of that, you know, like government stuff and deliver some other messages from the station. So hang on a second and we'll be right back. We're back, and you're listening to Community Living Radio. My name is Michael, and we're playing an interview. Teresa de Grobau, she wrote the book on mass influencing people. She created a guideline with that book to, as you heard some of, to help you get through to like some really big influencers, to help you get through to that media person you're really trying to get to for your cause, that sort of thing. And with that being said, I use this radio show to help get the message for a lot of my friends, fellow business owners, advocates, out there in the world. There's a lot of you guys out there who listen to this show, not only here in Vancouver, but across British Columbia. We're actually syndicated on a regular basis in Nanaimo, which I'm really grateful for all of you who are actually listening to this show and help us get the word, the ideas, all these positive things that need to be delivered to our planet. In a time when there's so much negativity going on. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to take my influence and use my superpower of influence for the good, for the betterment of our planet. And this radio show and other shows that I do are part of that. So I'm really grateful for all of you who are actually listening and helping spread the word of positivity and love and trust to our world right now when we really need it to be out there. So anyway, with all that being said, let's get back to Teresa and her interview, and we'll be back at the next break. So, the topic of the book, why do you think that this particular topic is so important now?
Oh, I love that question. Well, and I know I'm preaching to the converted when I talk to the, you know, people and that are listening on your show, but, you know, I really do believe that we're living at a point in history that we will look back on as the most significant shift in humanity that mankind has ever seen, which is we are in the era right now where people are waking up and they're realizing that they can control their own lives, they can control their own destiny by learning to notice and control their own thoughts. How cool is that? Right? And when we get that very simple skill to notice how we think, notice what we make things mean, and not let our thoughts run the show, but we start running our thoughts instead of our thoughts start running us, then all of a sudden, the world around us changes. We have the opportunity to pursue the life of our dreams. We have the opportunity to go after promotions or bigger opportunities or, you know, actually create positive change in the world. And so, you know, for me, this book is just one contribution, a small but important one, to really helping that shift happen on this planet, because this book invests in the average grassroots person who wants to create some positive change around them so that they really get how simple and easy it can be. And, you know, by easy, I don't mean it wouldn't take work, but just like fish don't get what water is, most people don't get that influence is all around us. Learning to be influential really is as simple as riding a bike or as simple as learning to breathe. Once you get the basic habits of it, it really does become something that you will start to look at and wonder how you ever thought it was hard.
Yeah. And being an influencer does have It has a lot of its fun moments because it creates so much abundance around you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, influence, you know, there's just one fundamental principle to influence, and it's so easy that people laugh when I tell them. you know, and if you don't mind, I'll just give it to you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just like we got to give respect to get respect, you got to give influence to get influence. And a lot of people kind of go, huh, what the heck does that mean? Right? But when you become someone who habitually starts giving influence to other people, and that's, you know, one of the most major habits of influential people that you'll see, is, you know, influence starts flowing back to you, right? You know, consider the scenario that if I was at a networking function and I stood up on a chair and said, look at me, I'm so great, I'm a four-time best-selling author, I speak all over the world, I even like pie, you know, people would be rolling their eyes back in their head and going, get that crazy Canadian out of here, you know? And at the same time, if I stood up on a chair and said, oh, everybody, Michael Rubin just came in the room. He has this awesome radio show, and he's, you know, really a cause for positive change in the world. He, you know, shines a light on all these really cool people and highlights them on his show. And, you know, all of a sudden in that scenario, I'm gracious and you're more influential. And the interesting thing is, in that act of giving influence, you know, I become more influential. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, it's got to be authentic.
Yeah.
You know, because I can hear your listeners saying, you know, but what if you really don't like the person? Well, if you really don't like the person, don't say anything. But, you know, if you routinely go around and gift influence to people who in your mind deserve it, you know, like Michael, I would come on your show any day of the week. I love the work you do.
Thank you.
You know, it's very grassroots, and it's, you know, it really does celebrate awesome people who are doing cool things in the world. You know, so for me, you know, I would clear my schedule to come on this show because I so love what you do. But, you know, there are interviews I turn down in a month just because I don't resonate with who the host is and what they're doing, and I want to be able to authentically be on their show and have fun with them and enjoy it, right? You know, so the first thing to understand around giving influence to get influence is that you always do it in alignment with who you are and what you believe. You never seek to build relationship or give influence to someone you don't authentically love and admire.
Yeah, there's one thing that I try to get through with a lot of people that is the idea of, when you said alignment and values and things like that, is getting people to understand what it is that they believe so that they align themselves with other people that have that belief, so that everything is in alignment. And that's when things really start to light up, is when everybody's authentic around each other and you kept bringing that authenticity up. So it becomes really important. Can you explain a little bit more why authenticity... Okay, we'll try that again. Authenticity is so important.
Yeah, you know, and I love how you talk about this, Michael, because I couldn't agree more. It's authenticity is becoming such a common buzzword these days. Everybody's talking about it, and there's a lot of different definitions out there of it. Well, here's my definition. Authenticity is your inside voice saying the same thing as your outer voice, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if inwardly you're saying, oh God, I really need this sale, and outwardly you're saying, this is a really great product, you should buy it, you know, we all know that lands smarmy, right? And at the same time, when you're meeting influential people, you know, you can tell when someone runs up to an influential person and says, here's a copy of my book, I'd love for you to have it, when really what their inside is saying is, I really want you to endorse this, there's an inauthenticity there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so inside playing the influence game, you got to really get noticing where your inside voice is saying something different than your outside voice, because just like you can tell when other people aren't in alignment, they can tell when you're not. Right? And influence, or being in influential situations, connecting with influential people, has a tendency to make us nervous. You know, it presses those buttons where we get a little bit in our heads worrying about how we're coming across, or, you know, or maybe we've had that networking course that, you know, get out there and ask, always be closing, right? Maybe we've got that running in the back of our heads. And so people show up and do a lot of weird things when they meet influential people and it creates an issue for authenticity. So you just want to make sure that you're watching what you're doing from a standpoint of, are you meeting people you really love? Are you doing something you really love? Are you, you know, asking when you shouldn't be asking, because there's a desperation going on that, you know, is running in the background? All of those things can create inauthenticities, and so it's really important to start noticing them.
Yeah, and you're right. You really can tell when somebody's just desperate to sell something, or if they're, again, authentically trying to just simply share value that they have. And sharing is way more important than, I think, selling. So it's a lot of good points on that. Yeah. So a lot of this is about building relationships. And you discuss with authenticity, you discuss one mistake that people make. How many other mistakes do, and what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when building relationships with influencers?
Yeah, I think the biggest I would see is the one I would affectionately call the premature ask, you know, and people always look at me and say, the premature what? But the premature ask is like the equivalent of, you know, you just meet the new neighbor and the new neighbor comes over and says, wow, I love that lawnmower you have out front. I can't wait to borrow that baby, right? And people do this to influencers all the time, right? Like, you'll see it at big networking functions. You know, usually the most influential person in the room is the guest speaker or the person on stage, mm-hmm. or the guest of honor. And you know, they might walk off stage and there'll be a lineup of a dozen or more people waiting to meet them. And half of them want to buy them a coffee or lunch. And, you know, three or four of them will have a book or a CD in hand, wanting to give them a copy of their book or CD. And what you need to understand is, like, giving an influential person your book or your CD is a lot like saying to the brand new neighbor, you're going to love my kids. You're so going to enjoy babysitting them, right? It's right. Premature. There's no relationship there, right? And so, like we were talking about earlier, if you want to get influence, you give influence. If you want to build relationship with an influential person, offer them influence to kickstart the relationship. That's the equivalent of the apple pie when you're meeting a really influential person, right? So, you know, you might say something like, I heard you mention you're going to be talking in Cincinnati next month. You know, I happen to have a few LinkedIn connections on Cincinnati. Would you like me to send them information on your event? Or you might offer to write a book review for their book on Amazon, or maybe you could connect them with someone else who's influential. Maybe you know a reporter who might want to do a story on them. You know, maybe you know Michael Rubin and you could recommend them for his show, right?
Yes.
You know, there's all kinds of wonderful ways that you can offer to shine a light on someone else and give them influence. And I actually have another takeaway around this. Can I give your listeners another takeaway?
Again, we encourage takeaways.
And, you know, this one, I actually have this one is included with the book, Mass Influence. When you buy the book, we help you through this one in recorded modules. We have a free course that we give you with the book. But you can do this on your own if you like. And I call it the 30-day challenge. And it's this simple. For the next 30 days, gift out influence 30 times and watch what happens to your own influence. So, like, for the next 30 days, shout people out on Facebook or recommend them on LinkedIn, or if you've got a newsletter, mention them in your newsletter and watch what starts happening to your own influence level at the end of 30 days. I think you'll be astounded as to where you're at and what's coming back to you.
Wow.
And I think that's a good spot to break for a second. You're listening to Community Living Radio. I am Michael, and we're being broadcast right now from CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's Cooperative Radio. And we're going to get to a quick break here, and hang on. And thank you again for listening to Community Living Radio. I am Michael. So, I like that last comparison of the premature ask, asking to borrow somebody's lawnmower before you actually get to actually know them, or asking the new neighbor is like, "Hey, you're gonna love my kids. You should babysit them," and you're just kind of handing them the welcome package to the neighborhood. But think about that. How many times do you get overexcited because you forgot that influencer that you're about to meet up with at a talk or something like that, or at a protest maybe, who it really is another human being, and as the saying goes, they put their pants on one leg at a time. Make sure that you do something really cool that helps develop the relationship when you meet somebody that you're trying to give or gain influence from. It's like Teresa has a really good point with that. It's like don't assume that they're just going to be interested in your cause. I actually made that mistake one time. Talk about my Uber geekdom here. I met one of the characters from Doctor Who, which I'm a really big fan of, and that person also is a advocate for human rights, and I just knew that he would want to be involved in this human rights issue that I'm involved in. It's like, yeah, he's going to really want to be on board with that, right? And I approached him and I said, "Hey, I want to get you involved with this because you have a fantastic name and I want it." And he looked at me and he's like, "I'm not going to get involved in your cause because it would be double the work for me. And I don't even know the organization that you're talking about." And there it was, right there. I asked him for something before I actually started a relationship and gave him something so that we could build on it to begin with. So, as an important lesson, make sure you offer something up to build on when you meet the influencer, and then from there, you start building a relationship, and then you can hand them the script, get them involved in your cause, whatever it may be. So anyway, let's go back to the interview.
Influence is energy, and the more we channel it, the more we get, right?
Brilliant, yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah.
That is an awesome challenge. I'm actually going to try to take on that challenge myself.
I love it.
Are there any other really big mistakes that people make? The premature ask. I remember what you mentioned that the first time I met you. You were giving a talk with another friend of mine. Karen McGregor, she organized Colin Sprague.
Yeah, speaking at the Rock the Stage event. That's when we first met. Yeah.
And she had I became friends with Satien at that same talk. I wound up sitting next to him, and that was like the one of the coolest things.
I love how you're effortlessly giving influence to all these people right now. I just want to point that out and shine a light on it, right? Because Karen McGregor does awesome events with Rock the Stage in Vancouver. You know, Colin Sprague, who runs Make Your Mark Training, trains entrepreneurs actually all over North America, but his company is centered in Vancouver, so they do huge events in Vancouver. Same with Satyen Raja. Amazing international speaker, also based in Vancouver. So some really awesome people. And I love how, basically, I just want to point out, you're gifting influence in this moment, and it really is that easy when you just acknowledge people who deserve it.
Yeah, the thing about all those people that they have in common, you also have this in common, is the advice can be taken by anyone. You don't have to be building a business. You just
exactly
have,
yeah.
It's like the
it really does apply to everyone, you know. Yeah. And I think you know, really the biggest mistake I would see people make is what I would call practicing at business or practicing at life, you know. And it's the equivalent of, you might call it playing small, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you catch yourself saying things like, someday when I'm really good at XYZ, then I'll do my big dream, you know, then I'll start that charity, then I'll go for that big promotion, then I'll really create change in my organization, or whatever it might be that your heart is really wanting you to go after, you know. And that's that inner dialogue getting in the way again, right? And, you know, if you look at the most influential people, one of the things that they all have in common is they're of high, high service to the world. They stand in really big problems, and they stand for the solution of that problem in very specific ways. You know, like, think about what it would take for a 28-year-old fresh out of Bible college to become globally iconic. You know, and of course I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr., right?
Right.
But he stood in the biggest problem going on the planet at the time, which was racial equality and how we treat each other with respect on this planet. But he did it in a very specific way. You know, he took on the Montgomery, Alabama bus system, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget to think about that. I mean, most people know it, but they forget to think of the significance of that, that he became globally iconic inside of a small local issue. Right? And the more real and tangible, the more grassroots the issue you go after in fact, the easier it is to become influential. You know, I love that Margaret Mead quote, right? Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, for indeed that's all that whoever will, right? It's one of my favorite quotes because it is so true inside the influence game. When you take on what's right in front of you, small, local, in your business, in your organization, in your community, whatever it might be, growing influence is faster and easier. Like, actually, there's a real-time example going on right now. Do you mind if I give you another example of that?
Sure.
You know, I'd love to tell you about Judy Van Niekerk. And Judy, I am going to predict that Judy will be huge in the next few months because, and you know, she already is beloved and well known in the UK and Europe as, you know, someone who is a leader in the transformational movement. And, you know, if you'd followed Judy Van Niekerk's story, she's the survivor of one of the most horrific incest stories you'll ever hear. Her father actually kept her prisoner for the first, you know, 12 to 15 years of her life. I can't remember how long. And, you know, not only did she get herself out of that situation and reported her father, but she eventually got to the place where she could forgive him. And her story has been covered all over media, all throughout, you know, UK and English-speaking Europe. And, you know, so as a leader in the empowerment movement who really invests in women and women's empowerment, one of the things that really drives Judy crazy is that women think it's okay to hurt themselves in the name of being feminine, in the name of fashion. You know, we wear shoes that hurt, we wear bras that hurt. In fact, when we look at the problem of women's bras, like a lot of leading cancer experts say they're very concerned with push-up bras and things like that as being a contributor to breast cancer. And in fact, talk to any chiropractor and they'll tell you that poorly fitting bras can cause all kinds of major back issues, right? And so here we are buying a fashion item that causes us pain, right? And I remember when Judy was first talking to me about this, she had to disrupt my thinking on it, right? Because I'm like, are you kidding me? Give up my push-up bra? No. But what Judy has created is a product called the Digital Bra. It's actually an app you can download on your smartphone. And you would, you know, women would scan their bodies in the privacy of their own home, and it's securely uploaded to the site, and you can purchase a custom ordered bra that's made to measure. How cool is that? And so they're just in the process of launching a big Kickstarter campaign around this. And I predict that this is going to go wildly viral because Judy is firmly standing in the problem of disrupting the thinking of women, disrupting the thinking that it's okay for us to teach our daughters and teach the next generation that it's fine to hurt our bodies and hurt ourselves in the name of being sexy, right? And change that to, no, sexy doesn't have to hurt. Sexy can be beautiful and awesome and fit properly and be great, right? But she's disrupting that thinking in a really specific way by launching a product that solves that problem. Now, in my world, that's super cool, and I would predict massive success for what Judy's doing.
It is very super cool. We had her on the show like 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Oh, fun. Yeah. So you know Judy. Yeah.
We were talking about her product.
Shoes, Michael, I would just say I can't wait for her to do the digital shoe.
As long as the digital shoe has had some platform, some heel,
some bright red.
That's right. You are a red shoe person.
I know. We share that in common.
Yes.
Kindred spirit.
So because we're starting to run out of time here, back to your book. What is the best way people can find your book? When it's released, and that's October 1st, right? It's released, is that right?
Yeah, the release date is October 1st. It's already available for pre-order on Amazon. So if you want all the information, you can just go to our book website. It's called massinfluencethebook.com, or you can look us up on Amazon. It's called Mass Influence, The Habits of the Highly Influential. And the book actually includes the 30-day program that I mentioned earlier. If you need a little bit of help in doing your 30-day challenge, it's only $8.87 to buy the book. We priced it rock bottom because it's way more important to me that this book gets in the hands of thousands of people than I'm worried about making money on it. So, take on your life and get in action is all I would say.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you again, Teresa, for enhancing my life and enhancing all of my listeners.
It's just been a pleasure, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on again. I really want to say thank you for the work you do because your show is just so fun and really does shine a light on some great people in the world.
Yeah. So, to everybody listening, I will actually put all of the information on how to get her book up on our Facebook page also. So you can just go on the Facebook and go to Community Living Radio page.
Okay, well, we all know that this is a replay of that interview, and we did actually help Teresa sell quite a number of books by posting on our Facebook page. The book is still available for those of you who really want to go out and get it. And I believe there's some directions inside of that book that can help you actually work with Teresa. Because maybe some of you out there have a book inside of you. She can help get it out of you and help you get it published. She does coaching and teaches people how to self-publish a book also. Teresa is a great person in that respect. So anyway, go find her book on Amazon. Learning to become a mass influencer is a really important tool if you're an advocate. So, with that being said, I will be starting a series of programs and talks and things like that that actually will help bring more influencers into the Vancouver area to talk about causes, how to be a better advocate, how to get things out in front of the press or in front of government, those sort of things, so we can actually get some positive changes in our world, just starting right here, right where we are, affecting Vancouver, Surrey, Delta, Burnaby, Langley. One of my friends is running for office in Langley Township, and his whole thing is about bringing positive opportunities to the area of Langley. And if those changes come to Langley, you know that, of course, they're going to wind up in Surrey. I live in South Surrey, White Rock area, and you know that those changes will start to spill over when we start to have the right influential people come into our offices, our public offices, and help us advocate for the right things, things that bring love into our community. So if you want to learn, again, we want to learn more about Teresa's book, go to Amazon. It's Mass Influencer, Teresa de Grabois. And look for more information on events that are coming this fall and this winter from my company, Depictions Media. And we're going to be bringing more speakers into the area to talk to us about how to be more influential in a loving and trustful way to bring those kind of changes to our world and to our community. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and stay tuned for programming in your area.